This morning's reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and beginning at verse 17. This can be found on page 1014 of the Church Bibles. Mark chapter 10. The rich and the kingdom of God. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honour your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Amen.
But it's lovely to be here. Thank you for your welcome. Thank you to Di for whoever chose the songs. They're perfect songs. They're great for this morning. Thank you to Steve and Delaine for your prayers and your reading. Louis, the sound's great at the back there. It's really good. Well done. And it's a pleasure to be here to look at God's word with you again. And what I've called the little message this morning from Mark chapter 10 is the calling of a lifetime. So as you can tell, I like ambitious titles. That's the plan. So just going to pray and then see what God wants to say to us this morning. Father God, thank you that we can be here together. Thank you that you promised to be here when your people gather together. And we thank you, Lord, that you've got things to say to us this morning. And it's a message of grace. It's a message that comes from your love. It's the message that comes from you having done everything in advance and calling us to join in. Father, would you open our eyes right now that we would see the truth in your words? And would you help us to apply them to our lives? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what I want to think about at the beginning of this is running. Because running is sort of like a symbol of our age. I mean, some of us, and I put myself in this category, we run because we're frequently late. Some of us run for fun. Some of us are terribly serious runners. Often you see lone runners running all on their own, having quality time with their iPod. I saw recently that somebody did some research. When we don't run, And they measured the speed of people walking over 10 years. And they found that people are walking 10% faster than they walked 10 years ago. So we're a society on the move, always chasing the next thing. We're in a hurry. And if you look at the beginning of this reading that we've just had from Mark chapter 10, verse 17 says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him. He's a running man. And I want to know, why is this guy running? I mean, I presume he's not jogging. Probably he's keen. That's why he runs up to Jesus. And why not? This is a guy who speaks words of truth. He heals people dramatically. And several times in Mark's gospel, people run up to Jesus. They're keen to get to know him. And I wonder as well if he runs because he's busy, this man. We can't be sure. What we do know about this guy is that he's young. Now, Mark doesn't tell us in this passage that we've just read that he's young, but Matthew, in his gospel, gives a parallel account of this story, and he explains that this man is young. And we know that he's rich. Verse 22 tells us, it says he had great wealth. So, what else do we know about him? Well, he's been busy. He's been busy constructing a successful identity. If you read between the lines, he's been putting together a successful self. Jesus said to him, you know the commandments. And as anybody in that culture would say, yeah, I know the commandments. And he says, all these I've kept since I was a boy. But even though he's got all these, he's young, he's rich, he's met many people's expectations, he wants more. He wants to finish this thing off. Because in verse 17, when we meet him in Mark 10, he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I want it all. Here's somebody who's chasing everything. He's young. He's rich, he's impressive, but he wants eternal life as well. He's chasing everything. So, what do you give the person who has everything? Answer, shelves. Come on, you can never have too much storage space, okay? And this guy is like that. He's got everything. And if he came into today's culture, you'd be impressed. I mean, he probably made his parents very proud. I mean, he says that he's honored them since he was a boy. And what happens is that Jesus calls him. And that's what I want to look at with you just now. What happens when the call of a lifetime comes to those who are chasing everything? And specifically, I want to say, what happens? Why does it happen? And then, how might we respond? So, first of all, what happens? What is the call of a lifetime? And you've got it there in verse 21. One thing you lack, Jesus says to him, which is a funny thing to say to such an impressive young man. You lack. I mean, nobody else would have thought that this guy lacked anything. But Jesus said, no. One thing you lack. But then, I guess, it is only one thing. And if I was him, I'd probably be thinking, one thing? I bet I can do that. I've done a lot already. Hit me with it. Go on. What's the one thing? Tell me what it is. Okay, says Jesus. Go. Sell everything. Give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. That's five things, actually, not one thing. Go, sell everything you have, give to the poor, then come and follow me. And that is the call of a lifetime to this guy. But just think what he's called to for a minute. Jesus is saying to him, go. That's the first thing. Jesus is saying to him, look, you're here with me. I want you to pop off and I want you to take all your stuff. Now, I mean, this guy had great wealth. So what might that be? It could be that he's got personal stuff, clothes, cloaks, jars of perfume, expensive food stores, that kind of thing. And it could be also that he has land and maybe buildings and barns and cattle and servants that work for him. And Jesus says, go. I want you to take all that stuff and sell it. And then you get this big pile of money. And with that big pile of money that you have, I want you to give it to the poor. To the people who've lost their land. Because historically, every Jewish family inherited a plot of land for themselves. But what some people had to do was that they were forced to sell their land to make ends meet. So Jesus is saying, give your money to the people who face daily that choice. Am I going to feed the kids or not? I want you to give your money to those people, Jesus says. What an incredible invitation Jesus is giving. So that's three. Go, sell everything, give to the poor. And then I want you to come back and I want you to follow me, Jesus said. Which is incredible because Jesus is with this gang of people and they do crazy stuff. I mean, they get into boats and there's a storm and amazing stuff happens then. And they feed thousands with loaves and fishes and have masses of leftovers. And they're actually on their way to Jerusalem where things are going to get utterly dangerous. And Jesus says to him, I want you on that team. Isn't that an amazing invitation? I want you to go, get rid of all that stuff, bless the poor, change the economic situation near where you live, and then I want you to come and be with me, with this group of people. That is the call of a lifetime to this guy. But it doesn't go down well, does it? I mean, it doesn't go well with this guy because the truth is he's thinking, look, I just want eternal life. Actually, I just wanted you to say what I needed for eternal life. I didn't expect you to rearrange my furniture. I just wanted you to, you know, give me the religious stuff. I mean, to be honest, we suspect that he probably thought he already had eternal life. And he just wanted Jesus to say, do you know what, son? You're doing all right by me. Off you pop. But no, there's a problem here. You see, I think this guy wanted to complete the set. Let me illustrate that. When I was a kid, a lot of us used to collect cards of footballers, which came in packets of sweet cigarettes. Stay with me. It was a long while ago. A whole set of cards of footballers was 100 cards. And we would swap cards between us to try and get the whole set. And inevitably, there was always one card that was elusive. No matter how many packets of sweet cigarettes we bought, always the same player seemed to be missing. And actually, I seem to remember that that player was a guy called John Charles, who was a famous Welsh international centre-half that most of you have never heard of. And the rich young man is like that. He says, I've collected all this stuff. All these commandments I've kept since I was a boy. I've got the money. I'm still young. I just want you to give me the one little thing that's missing. And Jesus says, I've got the one thing that completes the set. Great. And Jesus said, I'll swap you. What's the swap? All the other cards. And the guy is stumped. At this, the disciples were amazed at his words, we read. To those who are chasing everything, Jesus gives the call of a lifetime, which is this. Leave everything. Stop running. Stop running after this stuff. So that's the what. Now, how about the why and the how? So why is the call of a lifetime like this? I mean, if he literally was collecting football cards, and then Jesus says, if you want the last one, you've got to give all the rest away, what a nasty thing to do. But it says in verse 21 that we read, Jesus looked at him and loved him. You see, what Mark is suggesting is this, that it's because he loved him that he asked him to give everything up. How about that? Jesus said, in effect, now I'm going to do something which is really going to bless you and help you. He wasn't envious of the guy. He wasn't angry with him. He loved him. And it was because he loved him that he asked him to leave everything. So how can we possibly understand that? You know, I think the thing about being rich, and actually I class all of us as being rich, by the way. If you ever have any doubt whether you're rich or not, go to the internet and go on to globalrichlist.com, and you'll see how rich you are in comparison to the whole world. I bet you'll be blown away. Globalrichlist.com. Okay? But the thing about being rich is it kind of promises two things, I think, amongst other things. One is that you'll be free. You see, when you're rich, you've got options. I've got a computer. I can access the internet. What am I going to look at? I'm going to go out. I've got a car. Where shall I go? What city shall I live in? What career can I pursue? I'm rich. I'm free. There's a freedom in being rich. And the second thing that being rich promises is to make your mark. You're not just going to go along with a mass of other people, but you can choose, perhaps, a career that counts. Get a dream life. Make a big difference. You won't be forgotten if you're rich. I mean, the newspapers in the UK even produce an annual list of the people who are rich, as if just by being rich, they're making their mark. So being rich promises us to be free and to make our mark. And Jesus looks at this guy and he loves him and he says, do you want to know what real freedom is? Do you want to know what real freedom is? You think you're free? Give it away. That's freedom. You want to make your mark, he says to him. You think you're not going to make your mark by having brilliant grades or a glossy appearance or a busy life or a house and kids or maybe even having a hospital wing named after you? You want to make your mark, says Jesus? Bless the poor, and you'll make your mark. He says, and come and follow me, he says. Follow me. That is exactly what Jesus said to his closest disciples. This guy is getting the full call. He could have ended up writing a gospel. We could have had five gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Barnaby. He could have healed somebody. I mean, all the rest of the disciples were at it. Imagine that. I mean, he thought he had power and influence. I bet he never healed anybody. He could have been one of Jesus' disciples. He could have become a picture of generosity that would be remembered for all time and inspired millions of people. I mean, I know that because it happened to another man. Jesus went to another rich man and said, I'm coming to dinner at your house. And he said, well, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to pay them back 10 times. And Jesus said, salvation's come to this house. And we know that happened, and we know the guy's name. His name was Zacchaeus, and we find his story in Luke's gospel. But this guy, we don't even know his name. Did you notice that? We don't even know his name. He's been forgotten forever. Do you really want to make your mark? Do you really want to be free, Jesus is saying. And this young man might think he gets it through riches, but he won't. And here he is, and it's a terrible thing, as Mark says. You know, he went away, his face fell, he went away sad. Crazy thing. Here he is standing in front of the most loving, compassionate, inspiring person who has ever lived. And he feels sad because this person is asking him to join their team. Think about that. He's standing actually in front of God himself, and God is saying to him, come. And he walks away. And the call of a lifetime to those who are chasing everything is stop running. And some of us, I dare say, are even still striving to live up to what our parents expect of us. Some of us want to compete with our peers. Some of us are just so busy that we feel we're just one step away from exhaustion. And that's the cycle of our life. And we don't see how it's going to stop. And the incredible truth of Christianity is that Jesus looks at you and he loves you. And he says there's a place for you. And he calls his disciple in verse 25, he calls them children. There's a place for you in my family, says Jesus. And he says in that passage we read, there's a power that's going to help you. Look in verse 27, he says, look, with human beings, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I can make this happen. You think it's a scary thing for me to ask, but I've got the power that can make it happen, he says. And Jesus has a promise too, which he gives. We read it. Jesus said, if you think you are going to outgive me and sacrifice all this stuff like I'd leave you on the scrap heap with nothing, know this, says Jesus, that there is more that you will discover through leaving everything than you ever had in the first place. Isn't that incredible? There is more that you will discover through leaving everything than you ever had in the first place. Jesus looks at you and he loves you and gives you the call of a lifetime because he loves you, because he wants you on his team. Now, if you want to know how Jesus can make that call, let me point out just one more thing. There are two rich young men in this story. There are two. There's the one who runs up to Jesus, and there's the one who answers him. Jesus was a rich young man. If you look at the letter of 2 Corinthians that the Apostle Paul wrote, he says, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Jesus was a rich young man. For your sake, he became poor. And Jesus, Paul is talking, of course, about that amazing act of God becoming flesh at Christmas. But also, Jesus lives on earth when he comes, not the life of a wealthy person, a life of comfort and self-satisfaction, but he lives a life of striving and cost and pouring himself out for other people. And of course, Paul's referring to the cross there, where Jesus surrendered everything to the cruel torture of the Roman soldiers. And Paul continued, though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And so when Jesus says to this man, sell everything, he was not asking him to do something that Jesus himself isn't prepared to do. In fact, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to get on and do it. So that's the what, the call of a lifetime. Why is the call like that? The call of the lifetime is because Jesus loves us. And last of all, why? How should we follow? How do we follow? We follow, in a nutshell, by giving up everything. and letting God bless us. And that's how he explains it in verse 29 that we read. He said, look, you give stuff up, you let go of it, but you know what? You're going to receive back different things. You're going to receive back new things. And so what does that mean in practice? Let me spell it out to you very briefly. We follow this call, you and I, first of all, by giving up our life. I mean, God gave us our life in the first place, and then he calls us to offer it back to him so that he can use it as the maker of our lives sees best. Jesus, as we've just said, poured out his life for us, and then we offer our lives back to him. I mean, I've had the privilege in my life of meeting a few people who've had nothing materially. I've worked with Christians in Southern Africa who've lived in real poverty, and they're living for God with joy and enthusiasm and contentment. I've met recovering alcoholics, for example, and these people they've hit rock bottom, and yet they've given their life back to God. And I've been literally amazed at the peace and the joy and the love. And I've also met and I've spoken with many people who outwardly have everything. Well-dressed, good qualifications, rich, and inside, utterly empty. And if we give our life to Jesus in response for what he's done for us, he gives us hope and meaning and purpose and 1,000 other things besides. And I'm sure that many of us have made that decision, but if it's a decision you haven't made, let me encourage you to consider it with all seriousness. Secondly, we put this into practice by giving our ambitions to God. There was a guy called Charles Studd, and he was the son of a wealthy father. And he studied at Cambridge University, and at the age of 21, he played cricket for England. We could use him tomorrow. He was all set for an impressive life. He'd already become a Christian, but at the age of 24, he felt the call of God in a new way, and he said this, "I know that cricket wouldn't last. Honor wouldn't last. Nothing in this world would last, but it is worthwhile living for the world to come." And so he left England. He went to work for a missionary society. He set up mission work in China and India and Africa after he'd surrendered, as it were, everything. And in fact, he blessed thousands and thousands upon thousands and raised up leaders. And very interestingly, if you go to Wikipedia to find out about Charles Studd, it tells you that he left everything to follow Jesus. But it still has to put in the right-hand column, batting style, right-handed. Bowling style, right arm, medium pace. And Wikipedia's missed the point. I mean, I don't know what God will call you to if you surrender your ambition to him. And it's not a competition with C.T. Studd, for sure. But I do believe that if you surrender your ambitions to God, he will use you in amazing ways, far beyond what Wikipedia could possibly comprehend. So we give our life, we give our ambitions, and we give our stuff. If there's one thing I think that we need in our country to hear, is how to live more simply and more sustainably, and for us, more generously too. The Apostle Paul says elsewhere in 2 Corinthians, he describes himself as poor, but making many rich, is what he says. Paul says, sometimes I have more stuff, sometimes I have less stuff, but I make many rich. Isn't that a great ambition for life? And lastly, time. We follow God with our lives, with our ambition, with our stuff, and with our time. And I mention this last one because You may be thinking to yourself, look, I'd love to follow God with everything. How does this work for me? How do I make it work for me in practice? Let me drive it down to just one point as we finish this morning. When I was at university, my time management was a mess. I was always playing catch-up, particularly at exam time. But I had some very good friends who, even at exam time, every Sunday, would stop. I mean, I was busily getting on with my revision schedule, but Sunday was their Sabbath, and they would take a day to rest. Sunday was their time to meet with God, to go to church, and I learned a huge lesson from them. And if you want to know in practical terms what it means to follow God, then can I give you that challenge? That we take a day of the week to give back to God, to rest, to do something restorative, to enjoy, to gather together with his family, wherever. It doesn't really matter in the big scheme of things. But what does matter is that we give God his time back. And every one of us can do that. So Jesus looks at you and me, and he loves us, and he gives us the call of a lifetime. And if we follow him and put our trust in him, if we're willing to put everything in his hands, he will bless us. He will set us free, and we will make our mark. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, our worship hasn't ended. It's only just begun. Would you be with us every moment this week? Would you please help us to offer to you the worship you desire and to follow you? And not simply just to believe, not simply to say we have faith, but to keep following wherever you lead, seeing where you want us to work, staying close to you. Help us to hear your voice when you speak and to understand what you're asking of us. Help us through our caring and our sharing, through our loving and our listening, our accepting and our understanding, to bring hope and healing and strength and encouragement to a broken and a hurting world. Amen.